You. Good morning. Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys. I'm just look at these mighty men of valor over here. They're like David's men. You know, we're just such a good team here. We're a good family, right? Don't you just love being a part of this family? Just so good. And, man, even my mom's here. And if you want to wave, yes. She just flew in yesterday from Toronto. So went from, you know, like 85 and like 45, 50% humidity or probably more to like 85, 95 degrees here. So I was like, welcome to paradise. It's not. they always love come visiting and have a good time and see the kids and stuff. So my dad's going to come next week so he can listen to the podcast or whatever. And but I'm just so thankful that I can come and talk to you guys this morning and share about God's peace. And I just wanted to try something out a little different this morning. And so I don't know, just kind of a little experiment for it, just like relax for a second. And this is something I feel like is like an activity, so to speak, of just receiving God's peace and then releasing God's peace. So if you guys wouldn't mind just doing this with me, just breathe in and now breathe out. Let's do that one more time. Breathe in and breathe out. Does something change? You feel a little different, feel a little better this morning? That's actually something that Annie and I will do when Oliver is like all stressed out, you know, like 2-3-year-olds. They just got, you know, a little stressed out sometimes and they just blow up. And Annie just looks at him and is like, Oliver, breathe in, breathe out. Okay, now tell me what you want. I want a glass of water. That's all you wanted. Okay. Okay. You're having a temper tantrum over water. Okay. But there's something about that. There's something about just finding that place of rest and receiving the peace and then releasing the peace and just letting go and just, okay, it's all good now. We're all good now. Let's go get that glass of water. Now, some of you guys know I work in customer support and I do training and stuff at a company called Planning Center Online. And it's one of the apps you guys probably have on your phones that it's the green one that when you get, you know, an email requesting you to serve here at Summit, that's our app. And we've got a few other ones and the whole company is dedicated to making software for churches so that we can focus on kingdom stuff and all the admin stuff. It just gets easier and easier to do. And we can focus on what's most important, you know, and ministry. So what I do is I answer customer requests, feature requests, bug reports, all that stuff. If people tweet in, a lot of times I'll be the one replying back through Twitter too and Facebook. And then the other half of what I do is I do quality assurance. So you can tell I'm kind of nerding out up here with a couple of gadgets and stuff. But that's just who I am. Is I've got you know, my notes on here and stuff. And what I do for Planning Center is we'll have beta versions. So it's like the pre-release stuff that the developers make. And there's a new feature. There's a bug fix or something. And so I'll get to try it out and basically like test drive it and see if it works and make sure that, you know, when it goes out, it has that and it works. And then I'll make like the little notes. I don't know if you guys look at like App Store notes anymore of like, oh, what's new? But we have a little fun with those too. And I get to write those. Not the funniest ones. Usually that's my product manager because he's hilarious. The whole company is just like a super cool family too. And so that's what I do. But there was one day where this person decided to write in and say something a little nasty about our update. And he's like, hey, your new app update is a piece of beep. And I don't know what you guys do, but it certainly isn't testing. Basically that kind of thing. So it was just, for me, it was like, gosh, just like drive like a knife in my heart, because yeah, that's just a personal thing for me. Like I just tested this thing like with my heart and soul. I went through like days, and that's just, you know, making lists of, okay, this thing works, this thing works, this thing works. And to hear, I mean, that's pretty extreme. You don't usually get people like cussing us out. We're not like, I feel bad for the airline support people because like, I mean, They get nasty stuff thrown their way. And we, at least we're grateful we serve the church. And so generally speaking, most people, I mean, you'll be surprised on Twitter. Sometimes people don't realize that whatever they type, it actually goes to a real person and with, you know, feelings and a passion for them. And so so I was kind of worked up, and one of my coworkers, Clay, he's from Alabama. He's got this like sweet Southern barbecue accent. And he's like, "Hey, Matt, don't worry. I got this one for you." And so he takes the email and replies back to the guy. And later on, I was kind of curious. I'm like, what did he say to the guy? I kind of wonder, like, if he like told him off, or I can't imagine he would do that, or like at least correct him or something. And so I went and read it, and it was like the most gracious way to communicate. It was just amazing. I was blown away. I'm like, Clay, you are my hero right now. Cause I was so stirred up. I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad. Cause you don't want to know, like, they've been like, excuse me. And I'm not confrontational. So I got worked up. He was like, oh, I got this. And he just spoke into the situation so, so well, and was like, it sounds like you're really frustrated with our app. Yes. And, it sounds like you just don't like something that's changed. Maybe you found a bug. Maybe there's just something we can fix. So, you know, we would love to hear your feedback on what we could do to make this thing better. And it was so tactful, but what I saw from that was that he was a peacemaker, and he released something through email. I mean, you can still do that through email, that diffused the situation, and it changed the atmosphere of that whole conversation. The guy came back and we worked it out, and it just changed the relationship too. The quality of that just took it to the next level. It was kingdom stuff, you know, it was totally kingdom stuff. And I just felt like, God was just saying this morning, like he was teaching me at that time too, my response has the power to affect my environments and my relationships. I got a scripture I wanted to read from Ephesians 1-6, which I know we've been kind of camping out in Ephesians. And I just totally heard from the Lord, like he just put his finger on this one verse 3. But let's like go through verse 1 too. It says, "Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And that's, I mean, there's so much in there, but he just highlighted that verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. And I just saw like that was what Clay was doing at the time. He was keeping unity. He was saying, let's get together here and figure this thing out and move forward instead of just arguing and stuff. So the word peace, you know, it's huge. It's huge. And I feel like we're just going to scratch the surface today, but do you guys feel like we could just do that? Just kind of hover over a little bit of the peace of God. So let's just pray together and just, Father, I just thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit here right now. I thank you for the message that you have to speak. And we just open up our ears and our eyes and open ourselves up completely, just surrendering to you and what you have to teach us today. I thank you for your word and the authority it has. And we just honor you, God. We love you. And we pray that you would change us, change our minds, transform us, God, make us more like you so we can go and release what you have to give us out to our communities, out to our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this bond of peace, I used to work in the tile industry, and the bond was like a term for like the mortar or the thin set that stuck mosaics together. And so I felt like I got that picture, like, wow, we're like a community, and that really is what's holding us together is the peace of God. It's making us thrive. It's making us do things that we couldn't even imagine doing together because there's so much going on with team rather than just isolating ourselves. You know, and we do unto others as we would have them do to us. Like there's that reciprocation. And so the Lord took me also to Matthew 5:9, because he wanted to highlight that word peacemaker. You know, where Jesus is going through the Beatitudes, and he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I love the NLT too, the way it says it. He says, blessed are those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And we've already been talking about this too, as we're children of God and we've been adopted. And that's where we have this new identity as peacemakers. And, you know, we're seeking the heart of God. And so, I just want to go through like the qualities of a peacemaker. And I've got this slide to kind of show you guys a little bit of, some stuff. I don't know. Some of the slides are a little too dark, so you can give me a thumbs up if it doesn't work back there or whatever. But, yeah, we're going to go camping. I'm going to camp in this for a little bit. I had to do the dad joke. I'm sorry. But you know, there is a difference. There's a huge difference between peacemaker and peacekeeper. And I think they get blurry in society. Our culture doesn't really totally get it because it's not God's peace. So it's sort of this muddled thing. But so I kind of just made a little compare and contrast of peacemaker versus peacekeeper. So peacemaker, releasing versus appeasing. Peacemaker is active versus passive. A peacemaker empowers versus enabling. A peacemaker diffuses versus deferring or putting off. A peacemaker seeks truth, but a peacekeeper kind of skirts the truth. And the last one, I've got a little slide I want to show you. The peacemaker is meek versus weak. And it's like, you know how Pastor Daniel says, like, meekness is strength under control, like Kung Fu Panda. Okay, no, maybe not. Just want to get a little laughs. A peacemaker is relational. In Matthew 5:44, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. So we're called to kill them with kindness. You know, just douse them with the love of God, the peace of God, and that will diffuse what's happening, and it has the potential to just change the atmosphere that's going on, the dominant, like, just stressful, restless kind of thing, and you have the power to release that and change that. One of the tools that I think is really huge, and one of my professors back in college taught of it, it's the word empathy. And I think it's another word that kind of gets a little muddled, I don't know, in society a little bit of culture of appeasing still. But what we did this really cool exercise in school we partnered up with some people and just interviewed them. And through empathy, it's, you know, the whole thing about empathy is that it's focused on learning. So we had this sheet that we would go through of don't say, and it was all these things that were sort of leading questions. So instead of like, leading questions or giving advice, those kinds of things, we sought to understand and be like that mirror back to them. So they would say something and you know, maybe I would say like, so it sounds like you're saying this. And then they would have the ability to clarify and make sure that I understood. Another thing was, you know, I'd ask them, how do you feel about that? Just kind of let them answer that. What's a good way of resolving this thing? If you could handle this differently, what would it be? And instead of giving them advice, unless they really asked for it, we were told not to do that. And we empowered them to find their own conclusion. And every time we did it, it was amazing. They were like surprised. They're like, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. You know how you got there? You got there yourself. I just helped guide you along and process that because you can do it. You totally can figure this thing out. And I'm just here to be a support. And so I encourage you to try that. I mean, marriages too. When I came home, I was like, oh man, I really need to be such a more empathetic husband and, you know, kind of curb the involuntary selective hearing, so to speak. That's how I diagnose it. and just be able to seek to understand first and to mirror back and, okay, so sounds like you're saying this rather than just like getting an upset or assuming something. And I love that empathy is this bridge to connect relationally. You know, it's unassuming, it's unintrusive, it helps diffuse, and it supports their success. So I just thought that would be a really great thing to just talk about because, you know, when we seek God's heart for a person, we begin to adopt God's heart for that person. And then our perspective changes. And through that new perspective, we can then begin to pray and believe and support that person and support God's heart for that person. Does that make sense? We get that lens from him and we receive that. And then we can flow in our relationship with them. Proverbs 16:7 actually says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That is so powerful. That's, we can change. We can change things. We can be kingdom depositors that transform and pull the stuff from heaven into our relationships. And the quality of our relationships can just be so changed and godly. You know, it's about healthy communities. It's about healthy relationships and unified community. And when I think of even the Trinity, that is like the perfect picture. I mean, clearly, because it's God, but he's the Godhead, three in one, right? Three persons in one. And so they are in unified, perfect community together. And nothing outside of that goes, you know, with God's will, because it's all together. They work together. But then at the same time, we're made in God's image, right? So he's created us to be in unified community with one another. And so we get that from him. We're created and designed to do that. So I think that in itself is like super important. I'm like, okay, well, you've made me this way, then I'm going to follow that way. Jesus even equips us with his peace. We can look at John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Or even in the NLT, I really like how he says this. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world can't give. So don't be troubled or be afraid. I think even Philippians 4:6-7, we probably all know this really well too. You'd be familiar with it. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's huge. I remember just thinking of just scenarios where I'm like, how did I get through this? This is the peace of God. Like, this doesn't make sense, but he just gave me peace that is like whoosh, over my head, mind blowing. I don't even understand it. I think of even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they're in captivity. Israel's in captivity in Babylon, and there's King Nebuchadnezzar makes this giant statue of himself. And I keep thinking of the veggie tale. I can't help myself. I was going to put a slide, and I was like, no, that's just too far. But Rakshak and Benny, you know? And here they are. They're facing adversity. They're facing this situation where he's like, you got to worship me. You have to worship this idol right now. And they're like, we're not doing this. No. And he's like, well, you can worship me, or you get chucked in the furnace and you're toast. And I love Daniel 3:17. They say back to the king, God is able to deliver us, and he will. And then verse 18, it just jumped out at me. They say, but if not, let it be known to you that we won't worship any other god, even you. They had such a peace that they knew who God was and they knew what he does. He's a deliverer. And even still, they even say, but if not, even if you do chuck us into this fire and we're vaporized or whatever, we're burned up to death, we're still not going to worship you. We're still not going to. And then we know the rest of the story where there's a fourth figure. It's God shows up in the midst. He manifests himself in that furnace. And I was just thinking about how I want to propose this to you guys too, this idea. I think that was a sign for King Nebuchadnezzar that God was with them, because clearly these three guys knew well before that God is with us. God is with us. And I have that peace that God is with me through anything that I go through. So I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be anxious. When Oliver was first born, he had these apnea issues, or basically he had fluid in his lungs and he stopped breathing. Three times he had these issues, and one was actually two was in front of me, but the second time was in like the nursery area, because he had the issue. They brought him into this nursery area, and I got to like bathe him. It was so cool. And then suddenly he starts going purple again. I'm like, and the lady's like, get out of the way, and like moves me out and puts him on this like gurney thing with like a hose, like it's blowing like oxygen right into his face and revived him. I mean, like, it was scary. I was like, this is my firstborn, and like, this is first couple of hours being out of the womb, and I don't even know what to think of this right now. And he had to stay for 2 weeks in the NICU, and all these what ifs just started hitting me. And I'd be driving home, just not sure what to do about this whole stuff. I'm like, God, like, I know you're good. I know you're good. And I had to just speak the truth over me. And this song, Cornerstone from Hillsong, was what we were just starting to introduce in the church. And I would start singing it too. Like, man, like the weak made strong in the Savior's love. And I would just declare that God's love over Oliver, God's peace over Oliver. He's the Savior's got him. The weak made strong. Make him strong again, Lord. Let him breathe on his own without those stinking oxygen tubes and the IV and stuff. And I mean, you know him now. He's running around screaming. So he's doing well. But that was a whole other test I did not expect to go through. I had a couple quotes too that just really spoke to me. There's this Japanese writer. I'm going to pronounce his name probably okay. Haruki Murakami. Okay. And he says, and I actually have a slide if you can. Yeah, thank you for putting that up. When you come out of the storm, you will not be the same person who walked in. That is what the storm is all about. And I knew, like, I was changed after that whole experience. And I mean, I'm sure you guys have stories of stuff that you went through and you're like, I'm a totally different person. I'm so much stronger now. My faith is built. And another one that my mother-in-law, Joy, texted me the other day, just encouraging me, was from Leslie Gould. And it says, sometimes God calms the storms, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms the child. And that totally spoke to me. I was like, oh man, I was like in my car, like, God, what is happening right now? I don't know what's going to happen to Oliver, but he brought that peace. And it's only the peace from God that could ever keep me going. I had this picture, just being in quality assurance, we have this like illustration of process improvement. And I feel like God was showing me that applies to even peace, receiving peace and then releasing peace. And it's basically like this. There's an input, there's something going into the process, which is the second part, and then there's the output. And he used that as an illustration just to show me that that's where we receive God's peace. We're put in a place of rest, and then we can release peace into whatever we need to release peace into. And if I'm restless, that's totally a sign that I'm not at peace about something or someone. So that's a good, like, kind of alert, practical thing. Like, oh, okay, why am I restless about this right now? Because I should be at rest. God, can you give me peace? Put me into that place of rest. Okay. Now, Lord, what do I do? Okay, walk this out in peace. Okay, I'm going to release peace into this thing. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to not curse it. And, you know, it's also being like kind of a heart attitude. It's also choosing positivity. We all know, like, Steve Backlund has spoken several things about hope. I mean, his whole message is, you know, let's just laugh at that, if you guys remember that back. And he has this, he's saying, he's always saying it's so good. It's, if there's any area of my life that doesn't have glistening hope, I'm believing a lie. So what would that thing be? Gets that transformed. And now I have hope again. I have peace that I can move forward. Choosing positivity is also edifying. Chris Vallotton just posted this on Facebook the other day. We need to be the voice of construction, not destruction. You know, we're the church, we're building, we're prophesy is to edify, to build up the body. So go for it. And choosing positivity is also, it's got to be realistic. We can't be rainbow puking unicorns, right? That's like, do you guys know Andy Stanley? I listened to his podcast, and he's got this leader who's talking about leaders. You can't be rainbow puking unicorns that just don't understand. Like, you're so positive, it's not even realistic. Like, we just got to understand, you know, like, that way we know how and when to release peace. It's priority. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. I mean, Christ rules in our hearts, right? And I feel like every time I walk in here, I feel God's peace. And there's something so powerful about a church in worship. It's someone said it, the most powerful evangel is a worshiping church. And when we unify together and, you know, we sing and we praise God, there's this reciprocation. We're giving him praise, and he deposits so much of the kingdom back to us, this peace, healing, restoration. And my mom just got prayed for healing. And at the end, I love how you do this, Mom. She's like checking her knee and then check the other one. She's like, yeah, one of these things is just like the other. It's like, yes. Oh, so good. And there's vehicles of God's peace. And I think it's super practical. Like, God just speaks to us and releases peace in all types of scenarios and in different ways. And I just jotted down a few of them. There's words, scriptures, and encouraging words. Romans 8:31 says, my God is for me, not against me. I mean, that in itself, like whenever I'm facing something, I'm like, my God is for me. That giant, you're going to go down. You are down. Like, my God is right behind me. So I'm going forward. He's for me, not against me. So, yep, you're done, dude. I think even, it may not be a word or a scripture or something, but smile. It's contagious. It's like, no. But there's, I guess I can kind of like, do a spoiler alert, but in the morning, first service, second service, when we were, you know, it's kind of a worship leader secret thing that I'm just going to share with you guys right now. It's called the smile scan. And I know you guys are like, oh, I'm tired. My coffee's not kicking in yet. And we're like, let's go praise God. And so one of the things you do is make sure, okay, we're going to be, we're worship team, we're worship leading all together. And we're excited about it. We got to show that. So let's just do a smile scan. And it works. I mean, it just did. I just saw you. I see you back there. Seriously, like, it's so contagious. It releases God's peace because we're God's kids. He's puts the joy in us, and we just deposit it out. Another thing I think of is imagery. I mean, if you can think of your computer's background, it's probably some sort of scenery, right? It's probably some like scenic like thing like here. You know, you flip on your computer, you're about to start the day, and suddenly this image comes and you're like, oh, I feel really at peace right now. I'm ready to do whatever I'm going to do and work. And in Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. So like when I first moved here, I was adamant about learning how to surf. I still kind of am, but at first I was working with these guys that were like, yeah, let's go surfing at 6 a.m. Let's do this. I'm like, are you crazy? Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay. So I borrowed a surfboard from them and I'd wake up at like 5:30 and head down to Tamarack and we'd meet up, and it was like a spiritual experience. I'm out there paddling out, and by the time I get out there, I'm like, I'm exhausted. Okay, let me just like sit down here for a second, you know, on my surfboard. And then the sun starts coming up, and I've got another slide if you can show that too. It reminded me of that. Just the morning sunshine coming up, it would reflect on the clouds in the sky, and then it would reflect on the ocean. And the beach, like the sea in the morning, if you go to the ocean and see it in, like, that early in the morning, if you're that kind of crazy, it's not nearly as choppy as the afternoon. And it's like serene. You can see like how calm it is. And we'd be out there and just suddenly these waves, these beautiful waves, would just like start forming. And then it would just like, and just go along. And I would try and ride them. But the thing was, I totally had this face-to-face encounter with the Holy Spirit there, like with God just coming and being like, I love you. I love you so much. And I painted this all for you just this morning. And I did it all because I wanted to show you who I am. And I got so much peace out of that. Isaiah 55:12 says, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Even the trees applaud him and worship him. And we see that. If we open our eyes, we can receive the peace of God through that because he's there. He's showing us. Another thing that is kind of a vehicle of peace is sound. I mean, whenever you go practically anywhere now, something, somewhere, someone is playing a song. Someone is playing music, if radio, whatever. You go to the mall, you go to the stores, you're in an elevator. I mean, even an elevator, they probably need to have some in there because when you're stuck together with all these people, it's like, doot, doot, doot. Okay, I can kind of check out for a second and enjoy this weird music. But there's something about sound, releasing peace through sound. And there was this album that just came out from Bethel. It's their second one. It's called Without Words. And this one is just, both of them are great. Like, I'll listen to them in the morning because it's just, because of the fact that there's no words, there's no lyrics, there's like just something about it that gets you in tune with the Holy Spirit in a different way. It's because you're not thinking necessarily about what the words are. You almost let the music speak for itself. And these guys are anointed guys that are putting this music together. And I don't know. I just think it's so cool that like you can just press play and, oh man, I just feel God's peace right now. And they have this intro I wanted to share with you guys, if that's okay. And just do this little, I don't know, exercise kind of thing. And just in this moment, if you guys want to just close your eyes, open your hands up and just say, "God, give me your peace, Lord. Please give me your peace. Show me your peace right now." And if you guys are ready to back there, just go for it. You can play that. It's only a minute and a half because it's an intro, but thank you, God, for your peace. Thank you that even without words, you can speak to us, you can minister to us and deposit peace. Thank you, Lord. I've got this sort of unwritten song, if you don't mind me just sharing a little bit of it, called Unseen Arms. It's from Psalm 13:5. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart is safe in your unseen arms. I depend on you. You'll never let me go. Never let me go. Oh, Jesus, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart is safe in your unseen arms. I depend on you. You'll never let me go. No, you never let me go. No, you never let me go. You're always by my side. trust in your unfailing love. My heart is safe in your unseen arms. I depend on you. Never let me go. Like last week, Pastor Andrew was speaking about David ministering to Saul, and there's just something about music that can minister even to people afflicted with spirits and stuff. Just release the kingdom. Thank you, guys. So maybe one day I'll make that a song. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Did you feel the sense of, like, God's peace in that moment, though? And I think just to lighten the mood too now, I think another vehicle of peace is laughter, which we do that pretty well here. So why don't we just laugh at that? The audacious know what I'm talking about. Come on, where's Pete Whitted when we need him? I mean, he is contagiously releasing peace over people and joy. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but laughter is, it's contagious, and it releases God's peace, and it requires you to let go of something. It does. You got to let go of maybe some pride they're holding on to, because they're like, I don't know, I want to laugh in front of these people. But it releases, it lets go of stuff and lets God do his work in you. And it's so important. It's crucial. I can't stress it enough to get peace with God, the eternal value of that, to be reconciled from whatever sin is dividing you between you and God. I just want to implore to you today, surrender to him, surrender it all to him. Maybe you have already, and maybe there's just something that's just not restful right now. Maybe you're just restless about a relationship too. I just want to provide an opportunity this morning to be reconciled with God so that you can receive his peace. And then you can go from there in that place of rest as sons and daughters of God to go and release that. Go release it to your families. Release it to your workplaces. Release it to those customers that are, you know, cussing you out or whatever. You know, we're world changers, right? You know, let's turn this world upside down so it looks more like heaven. How about we stand up together? And I would love to invite the altar team up to the front too. If you're feeling kind of restless, come on up with them, and they'll pray for you. They'll just speak life. They'll prophesy into that situation and declare the goodness of God, because our God is so good. But if you've never made that eternal decision that you want to give your life to Christ, let's just make it an opportunity, and maybe we could just do it together, right?